Welcome to Humane Voices, the official podcast of the Humane Society of the United States. Now, if you've watched the news at all lately, you've probably seen stories of the spread of bird flu, not only on chicken factory farms, but now also on dairy cow farms. And in a couple cases, it's even made the jump to humans. This is getting to be very scary stuff. Our guest today is going to help us make sense of all of this. Dr. Gail Hansen is our guest, and I'm going to go over some credentials here. Sit tight. Public health professional and licensed veterinarian, the Washington, D.C. representative for the Humane Society Veterinary Medical Association, and the former chair of the One Health Action Collaborative. I mean, come on, this doctor, this is a bona fide expert right here we've got on the show. This is impressive.
Yeah, go ahead and Google her, listeners. I mean, you'll come up with thousands and thousands of hits of expertise, advice, and input.
Well, Dr. Gail, thank you so much for being here. We really appreciate it.
Well, thank you for inviting me.
So just real high level stuff. Bird flu's been in the news a lot. It seems like we've got a virus gathering steam in the U.S., starts to spread. I feel like I've seen this movie before, right? Like, can we relate bird flu to COVID in some way? Is it similar?
It's similar in a couple of ways. One is that sort of regular influenza and COVID are sort of spread the same way. This new bird flu in people, we still don't know. I think one way that it's similar to COVID is that this is a fast-moving virus. What's happening now, what I say today may all change by tomorrow. We may know more right now. There's a lot we just don't know, which is similar to what was going on with COVID, that how it first did what it did, what it's going to do next, how it's going to affect us is still way up in the air.
And so is it just birds or, I mean, other animals can catch this?
No, that's what's been the most interesting thing is that we had been thinking of it as just bird, sort of a bird thing. And there's more than one kind of bird, obviously. So but it's been in wild birds and chickens and turkeys. Then it jumped to mammals. So we saw it in seals. We saw it in mink. We saw it in, they've seen it in skunks and other animals. But at least as far as we know, at least beginning in March and probably earlier, it made the jump to dairy cattle. And that's where we are today is right now it's in dairy cattle. And that's something that's really unusual. We haven't really seen that before with this type of you know, what's been called bird flu. And the sort of fancy title is HPAI, which is highly pathogenic avian influenza, or HPAI. It's highly pathogenic, which means it's more deadly to birds, not to people or dairy cattle or other animals so far.
And Dr. Hansen, am I correct? Had there been a couple of folks that have caught this?
There have been, in the U.S. in the last couple of years, there have been two people who have gotten this bird flu. One person probably from birds. That was a few years ago in Colorado. And then recently somebody in Texas, probably from dairy cows. And I just got information that that person was not on the same farm where they first found the this bird flu in dairy cattle. So it sort of begs the question, how did that person get it? Where did it come from for that person to get it? The good news is that for both of the cases in the United States, that it's been a very mild disease, that for one person, it was just sort of like a mild cold. For the other person, it was more like a conjunctivitis, which is kind of like a pink eye kind of thing. And they recovered just fine. The bad news is that we have seen this bird flu, and it's a real specific strain of bird flu worldwide. They've been looking at this, and they've seen it in people since 1997, so over 25 years. And in that time, there have been over 900 people who have gotten this flu, this so-called bird flu. And of those 900, it's been fatal in about 50% of them.
Oh, wow.
Not seen that in people here yet. Hopefully we don't ever.
Yeah. Wow. So one of the pieces in the news, you mentioned dairy cows. There was announcements that they're finding, traces of the bird flu in milk that we buy at the grocery store. Is that right?
That's right. That, it seems like the bird flu virus, this HPAI, or they call it H5N1, which is sort of the fancy way of talking about it. They first found it in dairy cattle and seemed to be in the milk. Then the federal agencies were saying, don't worry, it's not in our milk supply. Well, in the last couple of days, they said, oops, we have found traces of this virus in the milk supply and pasteurized milk. So they've been saying if it's raw milk, that may be a problem. Don't worry about pasteurization. And the way we do milk in this country, you'll never find it in pasteurized milk. Now they're finding the virus in pasteurized milk or bits of the virus. They still don't know if it's live virus or just or dead virus. And the tests they've done so far, they can't tell the difference.
And when you say that we've seen this, is it certain regions, certain states, or?
Right now, they've seen it in 8 different states, and right now they've found it in 33 herds, and that's right now as of the end of April. That, once again, that may change. At one point, they thought it all came from one farm, probably in Texas, and then with movement of dairy cattle across the country, that herd was infected and infected others. Now, because they think it may have started even earlier, that's sort of another one of the unknowns. There's a lot of unknowns with this.
Yeah.
One of the pieces with dairy cows, it seems, do we know if it's spreading cow to cow yet? Or are we?
Sort of new information is yes, we do know that it is spreading from cow to cow. And even, I don't know if it's more concerning or at least another new piece, is we also know that it's now spreading from cows back to birds. We knew that, we're pretty sure it had come from birds to cows, and that's how it first got into the cows. Now it looks like it can go both from cow to cow and cows back to birds.
Well, that's not good. This thing is jumping different animals here to there.
There's a lot about influenza viruses that even though people have been studying it for years and years and years, there's still a lot we don't know. We don't know if, talking about it in milk, we don't know if pasteurization really will kill the virus. Nobody had really looked at it before. How they've looked at some of the things pasteurization takes care of, which we know of, that really does work. Nobody's looked at it for influenza before, and that's mostly because they haven't seen influenza, this type of influenza in cattle before, and they hadn't seen it, especially this influenza going to the milk of the cows.
So with the cattle, what is the seems concerning? What is the response been so far by the U.S. to this? How are we handling this?
I think USDA, FDA, so the USDA, FDA, the Food and Drug Administration, CDC, the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, the Department of Defense has gotten involved. Several federal agencies have gotten involved to look at this, trying to figure out what's going on, answer a lot of the questions that everybody has. They're now starting to get that information out to universities and to other researchers, which I think makes sense. It would have been nicer to have done that earlier. Wasn't my call.
Yeah. Well, and I think, when we hear coulda, woulda, shoulda, this to Chad's point of the movie, we were here not too long ago. So I think hopefully there have been some lessons, learned there.
Yeah. I think the one lesson that we don't seem to have learned is that the government keeps reassuring the public and saying, don't worry about this. This is not going to be a problem. Well, then when they find, because they said, don't worry about it. It's not going to be in the milk. We're not going to find virus in the milk. And then they do. So then it's, oops, instead of telling people there's a lot we don't know, mm-hmm. we just don't know. And being completely honest with the public trying to reassure the public so people don't, panic or whatever it is people are going to do. But I think it makes more sense to give people the honest truth. This is what we know. This is what we don't know. When we know, we'll let you know. And we don't seem to have learned that lesson very well.
Yeah. There's something to be said for transparency. I think people will trust more if there's a little transparency.
Well, especially if you're saying one thing one day and then 2 days later, it's like, remember that? Yeah, that's wrong. Sorry about that.
Yeah, and I've had that kind of experience with other public health issues in my lifetime, and that's exactly what I've tried to tell people is, this is what we know today. That may all change tomorrow. There's still a lot we don't know. And then you have a lot more credibility when you go back a week later and say, remember when I said things might change? They've changed.
Yeah. Well, so you modeled that. You know, that's why we have you on here, the expert, because you kicked this off and started it with the, this is subject to change.
Right.
So we had talked before, Dr. Hansen, about some of this stuff is on factory farming, factory farms around the country. The one we haven't talked about is pigs. Like, pigs are kept a lot. So if this make jumps from animal to animal, are pigs the next frontier? And should we be concerned about that?
I think we should be concerned about pigs, and we don't have a real good system to be looking at this particular type of influenza in pigs. The USDA does look at this in feral pigs or sort of wild pigs, but they're not looking at it at the farm level, factory farms or family farms. I guess the good news for factory farms, if there's any good news, is that people who have factory farms that raise pigs don't usually raise cattle as well. The bad news is that the birds that, you know, because birds can carry the flu and they fly and they don't really care whether you're a dairy farm or a pig farm. They're going to land where they're going to land.
Right.
So I think that is a little bit concerning that we really aren't looking for it as hard as we probably should be, but it sounds like USDA and FDA are starting to realize that that may be another one of the cracks that we don't want to fall through.
And you mentioned, so there's a difference, at least from a science perspective, as the bird flu getting into cattle versus getting into pigs. Is that right? Can you explain that difference?
Yeah, well, bird flu has gone into lots of different mammals. We get concerned about that if it gets into pigs. The big reason is that pigs' respiratory system, so that's how flu is usually goes from respiratory system to respiratory mm-hmm. system, theirs is very close to ours. It's much closer to our respiratory systems. So if it gets into a pig and changes or mutates or adapts to being able to get into a pig, and especially if it can go from pig to pig, it's less of a jump to go to a human. And then if it gets into a human, it's already got some of those adaptations, some of those mutations, so that it could potentially go from person to person. The other thing is that also with dairy cattle, but certainly with pigs, if it's respiratory, is that if you have a person with flu and a pig with flu, those two viruses can come together, reassort, and then you've got a brand new flu.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
And what about, Dr. Hansen, get in the weeds a little bit on birds, chickens specifically?
Sure. Well, that was why we first started looking at it and why it's called HPAI, highly pathogenic avian influenza, which we've been studying for really over 20 years. And it's highly pathogenic. At first, it was just in chickens and turkeys. And we would see it, you know, if you get it into a large turkey flock or chicken flock where there's literally tens of thousands of birds in one small area, one small barn, you can see how that can go through a barn like wildfire. The conventional wisdom was it was from wild birds, especially wild ducks and geese. But the wild ducks and geese didn't get sick from it. Well, that all changed. Mm-hmm. And now the wild birds, certainly birds of prey, ducks, geese, can get avian influenza, this HPAI, and get sick from it and die. We haven't seen it so far in our songbirds. But we do see it in chickens. We've seen it in turkeys. We've had literally millions of chickens and turkeys that have been killed because they found it on a farm. And so if they find it on a chicken farm or a turkey farm, they'll kill all of the birds as soon as they find it for a couple of reasons. One is to sort of stop the spread. And the other is because it is so lethal in the birds, you don't want to have these birds be sick over the course of time and having 60,000 birds get sick slowly over time and probably die is to do, they call it depopulation, which means killing all the birds on one farm.
So like 60,000 birds, you're depopulating, if that we can use that. God, all at once, that's so crazy. My gosh. So this thing spreads like wildfire.
Yeah. And how we depopulate them is a whole new way of, that would be a whole new podcast, because there are better ways and less humane ways. I don't know if there's ever a good way to kill 60,000 chickens at once, but there are more humane ways and less humane ways to do that. And I don't think that we're doing the most humane ways we can. We're doing the expedient ways. Once again, I think that would be a great podcast for another day.
Well, we'll definitely have you back for a whole new topic. But, you know, usually we try to keep it light, Kelly, on this. I'm not finding a lot of...
It's a little heavy. It's a little heavy.
Yeah.
But you know, I'm going to throw a positive in here just from what you were saying with the industry having to depopulate. I mean, it is in everybody's benefit that we get ahead of this and do everything we can, and that we definitely have an effective response, because for the operators and owners of these, you know, various farms and in the industry, it is a huge, it's a big loss of revenue for them when it spreads. In addition to the public health end of it, everybody really should have the same common goal on this.
Exactly. And it's not only the other thing is, it's not only the big farms, the big factory farms that are seeing bird flu. It's also people who have a few birds in their backyard, or people who have pet chickens or pet turkeys. It's also affecting them as well. So it really is affecting you, whether you have a few birds, a lot of birds, or no birds.
I'll ask you, what's the best case scenario? Because I'm too scared to ask chicken. You about the worst case. I almost did it, but I didn't want to do it, Kelly. I'm too nervous to ask you about worst case scenario. I think we can all envision that. But what's our best case scenario here? We all get our stuff together and get ahead of this thing, and what happens?
The very best case scenario is that we sort of figure out how this is getting transmitted from cow to cow and cow to bird. And we were able to sort of shut that down. Or sometimes another best case scenario is that the virus, this disease in cattle, sort of burns itself out, that it goes from cow to cow within a herd or within a few herds, and then it has no more animals it can infect, and so it sort of goes away without mutating, without adapting to people. That the two cases we've seen in people in the U.S., that's all we're going to see, and it won't affect anybody else or infect anybody else. The good news is that it hasn't, it didn't infect the household members of the two people who had the disease. Mm. The other, I guess, good news of this, if there's any, is that the viruses that have been in people, that the antiviral medications we have for flu now seem to work for now. And the vaccines that we have for influenza, we seem to have a vaccine that will not necessarily keep people from getting sick, but getting as sick, sort of like our influenza and the COVID vaccine do now. It may not keep you from getting it, but if you get it, you're not going to get as sick. So we've got that sort of best case is that it gets into two people in the U.S., doesn't go any further, and dies out on its own, or because there's now new USDA regulations, so that it's hopefully will slow down the spread a bit.
So it doesn't mean that it would necessarily become another COVID coronavirus pandemic, correct?
Right, right. It has to go, to be able to go from person to person, it has to adapt or mutate a few more times. That hasn't happened yet. The concern I have is that the more animals and people that it gets into, the more chances it has to adapt, so it can do that. How fast it'll do that is not anything that we can, that, you know, AI and computer models can't predict how fast and how well, or if that's going to happen.
And so on the individual level, I mean, since we can't mask up all chickens and cattle and cows, although I'm just going to say that's an alternative thought, workshop it. But what can individuals, what can people do in the meantime?
Well, I think, you know, keeping an eye on what's going on so that you know sort of what to expect, what not to expect. Mm-hmm. I also recommend a couple of things. I do recommend is to not drink raw milk, because We know that we can find the virus in raw milk. Mm-hmm. I'm keeping my eye on the pasteurization part. Right now, it seems okay, but, you know, watching that very carefully. But raw milk, I would certainly stay away from raw milk and raw milk products. And the other thing is to get vaccinated for the regular flu. And that seems a little weird. But as I said, the one thing we don't want to have happen is have bird flu, human flu, and potentially even a swine flu or pig flu get together in a person and become the start of an epidemic or a pandemic. You don't want to be that guy.
Patient zero, that sort of thing.
Zero, yeah. Nobody wants to be patients. Nobody should want to be patient zero.
Wow. Yeah.
To your point of vaccinations, you mean in the fall, when generally fall, when people get vaccinated, that just, are they working on a new vaccination or just whatever vaccinations available for flu at the time folks should get?
I would say whatever flu is available at the time, because that's the one right now. It's for the human to human spread. Mm-hmm. And that's the flu. If you get that and you've got that flu virus circulating in you and you get bird flu on top of that or swine flu, that's when the reassortment can happen. If you're getting vaccinated, even though it's not a vaccine for this HPAI, H5N1, the fancy name, then you're still going to, you may still get sick, but it's much less likely that you're going to be that guy, that patient zero.
Doctor, you mentioned how long this thing's been around. I remember hearing about bird flu years and years mm-hmm. ago. So I would think we've had time to sort of study it around the world. Are we able to kind of science our way out of this thing?
We've not been able to science our way out of pandemics ever so far. So I'm hoping this doesn't become a pandemic. And yeah, people have been looking at this and been following this this specific influenza for over 20 years. That being said, there's still a lot we don't know. And flu viruses, like other viruses, throw us for a loop. A lot of times there's a lot of things that we think we know. It's like, oh, it doesn't get into cattle. Don't worry about that. Oops. Oh, it wouldn't be in the milk. It's going to be a respiratory virus. Or if it's in chickens, it might be an intestinal virus. Now we found it in milk. Oops. So there's, I would like to think that we could, science our way out of it, because I am a scientist. But I also know that there's a lot of stuff that I think we have to be humble enough to recognize that we don't know everything. And there's the virus. Viruses have been around for a long time. Their main job is to replicate themselves and keep on going. Right. So our job is to allow some of that to happen, but not when it impacts us in a bad way.
Well, I mean, I would say luckily now we all hopefully pay attention or a little more vigilant going through what we've all been through collectively with the pandemic. It's hard to imagine people just write things off, or don't pay attention. So I'd hope that, we hear spread, pandemic, things like that. We are a little more thoughtful about what we're going to do to protect ourselves and others, and hopefully have a, stronger government response.
I would like to believe that's true. I also know that it's hard to change human behavior, and to put a little lightness into things, as people say, denial is not always just a river in Egypt.
Yes. Well, they can't deny that they've gotten a little more information today.
Absolutely.
Since you've joined the podcast. So thank you for that. And I know you're probably, I'm amazed you even had time to do this, because you're probably getting a lot of calls, and this is definitely, ramping up in terms of the media attention on this issue.
It is. I think that's the good news, is that the media has looked at this and they are putting that information out, so that this isn't going to be just hidden under a barrel. I think some of the information that's come out from the media has really forced some of the agencies to take a look at things and say, we really have to be a little bit more forthcoming and transparent with the public, and trust that the public will do the right thing. And that the more it gets out to the scientists, the more minds you have looking at this and working on it, the better chances we have. The better chances we have to science our way out of it. If we have more, the more scientists we have, the better chance we have of getting on top of it.
Fantastic. Dr. Gail Hansen, thank you so much. Get your flu shot, everybody. That's the message.
Get your flu shot. Don't drink raw milk.
I think Kelly and I were pretty okay on the raw milk situation.
Yeah, I'm good with that. Yeah. I mean, you can still put it on a bumper sticker, but I hope most folks are doing that.
Well, Dr. Hansen, thank you so much for being here. We will have you back, I'm sure, to give us some updates on this really important issue.
Thanks for having me. And I hope I don't have to come back with anything bad next time.
Oh my gosh. Well, welcome. Well, thanks for listening, everybody. We will catch you next time on another episode of Humane Voices.